in Mexico, June 17th, today, is Father's Day. And it's always June 17th. Doesn't change. It also happens to be my father's birthday. So we celebrated doubly. And some of you know my father. You've met him. He was born in Comitancillo, Oaxaca, the southern part of Mexico. And he's one of eight siblings, one of eight brothers and sisters. And he also has four half-brothers and sisters. So you have 12. Basically, Grandpa had the tribe of Israel there. And I praise God for my father. I praise God for my father. I'll show you some pictures here if you have not seen him before. This was when he got married, and some of you know him from way back then. I think he was 26 years old. And then the other picture above with my mom alone, that's at Andrew's. And I think I was 2 years old or three. And my sister was one and a half. And my dad was a pastor in New Jersey, the city of Dover and Patterson. He had a district, and he was a pastor at the age of 26 there. And I met my father. I came to know him from seeing him come here and stand in front of a congregation, and I would look as a kid, and I was starting to get to know him as my father, as a pastor, as someone who provided for the needs of his family. As a student, I also got to know him, and he was there several years. He did his MA at Andrews, and then he did his doctorate, his PhD in Old Testament, and those were long hours of study. I would see him go to the library early in the morning. Sometimes I would meet him there. I was in kindergarten later on. I was 7, 8 years old, first grade. And I would go to the library and meet him there. And then it was time to go home. And sometimes it was 10, 11 at night. And we would be literally the last ones to leave the library. Everything was dark in there. We would go down these stairways to the exit and leave the library at that time. They would let the PhD students study until long hours of the night. And we would then go. We would walk home together. And I would talk to him. He would talk to me. And then he went as a teacher, a professor of Old Testament, to our school in Montemorelos, Mexico. And there I lived 8 years, and there he taught, and he had about 350 students through the first, second, third, and fourth year of theology. And there he taught the prophets. There he taught Daniel, and he taught other classes to these 350-plus students. And I, would see him get up early in the morning at 7:30 in the morning. He was already giving classes. 8, 9 p.m., he would come back home after a long, long day. And I could tell you a lot of things about my father. I could tell you I think he's a smart man. I could tell you he's a caring person. But today what I would like to emphasize is that my father was approachable. He was someone I could come to his office. And the only times it was hard for me to approach him was when he was preaching or when he was teaching. He had 40 other students, and I didn't want to make the students upset. So, but when he was in his office, he had this open door policy. Students could come in. They could share some of the projects they were working on. They would share their papers. My dad would correct each one of them and say, this is what you could do to make it better. Sometimes they just wanted counsel, and they would be there. But I could come into his office, and he would stop at that moment and say, okay, Sam, well, what is it that you need? I felt important. And I said, well, Dad, I need some money. I have this project for school. And okay, he would take out his wallet here. Or sometimes it was just like, I need some help in doing this homework, and you could you tell me what I could do? And he would guide me a little bit as to what I could do for this particular homework. Or sometimes it was something just simple like, Dad, I want to ride my bike today, and I'm coming to ask permission if I could ride my bike with my friends. And then he would say something like, did you ask your mom? Yes. What did she say? No. Then it's no. Okay, so disappointed there. But that was the relationship that I had with my father. If he was in school or if he was at home, I could approach him. I could talk to him. I could bring to him my concerns, my worries, my needs. And brothers and sisters, I believe that one of the messages of the Bible for all of us here today is that God is approachable. If my father, a human being, who's not perfect, by the way, is approachable and cares about me. Imagine God, the creator of heaven and earth. The Bible tells us he's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. He who dwells in a holy place. And sometimes we might get the picture. Last week we studied Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And we saw this majestic scene, this throne scene in heaven, where thousand times thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, worship God day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Surrounded by holy beings. And we might think, how? How am I going to approach such a person with power, with a position that is higher than any position in the entire universe? How can I, a human being, approach such a holy God? And again, the Bible tells us how, brothers and sisters. Jesus, in the New Testament, tells us how you and I can approach him. And it tells us because you and I are his children. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed, has given to all of us, that we should be called what? Sons, daughters, children of God. We have a God who's approachable. And we can bring to him our concerns. We can bring to him our challenges. We can bring to him our questions. And he is willing to make time for each one of us. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. I think I have some more pictures. You can just go over. I kind of stopped there, but there's my dad now. A little later, and the next picture as well, I think, my dad here with some of his siblings in the state of Oaxaca just last December, and this other picture here in Chico, but just wanted to share these pictures before we go to our next section here. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And there we find Jesus speaking to his disciples, speaking to a group of people that are wanting to learn from him. His message was new, different from what they had been hearing. And here Jesus tells them that there is a Father in heaven who lets his Son shine over the good and the bad, who lets the rain fall upon the good and the bad, evil. And Jesus invites each one of us to be perfect like our Heavenly Father. Amen? To be kind, to be loving to those who are good as well as to those who are evil. And Jesus continues telling them about how we can approach this heavenly being. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that we can approach him through prayer. In fact, God the Father knows what we've said in the past. Amen? And he knows what we're thinking in the present. Amen? Before we even ask, he knows our needs. But he still likes us to come and pray to him. Not with repetitious words, but to talk to him, to tell him, what is it that concerns us? I read quickly what Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 tells us about God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us the following. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. God has an open door policy, brothers and sisters. Amen? You can approach the throne of grace. You can bring to God all of your concerns. You can come to him just as you are. And Sister White, writing about this open door in Ye Shall Receive Power, these are some of the words that you find there. Those who are seeking to be faithful to God may be denied many of the privileges of the world. Their way may be hedged up and their work hindered by the enemies of truth. But there is no power that can close the door of communication between God and their souls. Amen? There's nothing that can close the line of communication between your soul and God. Is that good news? It's great news. 24/7, God is willing to take our requests, to listen to our prayers. But there is one thing that can close that door. And she continues in the same passage. The Christian himself may close this door. How, brothers and sisters? By indulgence in sin or by rejection of heaven's light, he may turn away his ears from hearing the message of truth and in this way sever the connection between God and his soul. Jesus came to tell us there is a way of communicating with the Father. There is a way to coming before the Father. And that is through him. Amen? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Jesus speaking to his disciples there in Matthew chapter 6 shares with them this prayer that we know well, that we've repeated in different occasions. A simple prayer. A beautiful prayer that through the ages has been heard and repeated by millions of Christians. And this prayer, brothers and sisters, tells me that God is approachable. I believe that as we read through these verses, we'll notice character traits that God has that makes him approachable. Jesus starts off by saying, pray in this manner, our Father. Does that make God approachable? Our Father. He is the one who created each one of us. He is the one who created everything that breathes. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And Jesus invites his disciples, invites all those who claim to follow him, to pray to God as our Father, inviting us to approach him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Describes God as a holy God, righteous God. And I don't know about you, but we should feel safe around someone who's holy. Amen? We should feel safe around someone who is righteous, who does the good, the right thing, all the time. And God is a holy being that we are to worship, that we are to praise his name for who he is. Thy kingdom come. God is a powerful God. Amen? He's the king of the universe. His government is founded on love. What do you say to that? Amen. We can approach a God like that, who loves us, who desires to rule in our lives if we let him. He doesn't force himself. He doesn't tell you or I, hey, you better or else. But he tells us, he invites us to let him guide and lead in our lives. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does he know what's best for us, brothers and sisters? Does he desire what's best for you and me? He does. So why not approach someone who desires your good, who desires to see you happy, who desires to see you live forever and ever? Give us this day our daily bread. God is presented as someone who can sustain us. He can help us with our physical needs. Amen? And he can help us with all of our daily needs. Not just physical, but praise the Lord, also spiritual needs. And I believe, at least for me, those are my greatest needs. God says, I can provide for you and for all of your family, for all of your friends, for all of your community, for all of your country. In fact, I can provide for the entire world. Is that a God we can approach? That's a God we can approach. For God so loved the world that he gave. How much did he give? 50% of what he had? All. He gave 100% for you. He gave it all. That's a God I can approach. Amen? That's a God you can approach. Verse 12 tells us, forgives us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is God merciful? Is God forgiving? He is. That's what his word presents from Genesis to the book of Revelation. He's a merciful father. He's a forgiving father. And I can tell you, I, as a kid, messed up many, many times. And didn't matter how bad I messed up, I knew I could come home and face my father. I knew that. And my father isn't perfect. But praise the Lord, we have a perfect Heavenly Father. Amen? And we can approach him just as we are, with our heavy laden bodies and burdens. And he's willing to give us rest, brothers and sisters. He's willing to take it away. But he does invite us to come to him, to approach him, to approach his throne of grace in our moment of need. Amen? Remember, Jesus is the one who tells us we can do this. This is possible. Verse 13 tells us, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He's a God who gives us counsel, amen? Who is wise and doesn't want to see you or I suffer. He wants to see us happy. And when he says no, it is what, brothers and sisters? No, don't do that. Don't go there. You're going to hurt yourself. He says that not because he wants to make our lives difficult, but he says that because he loves you. And he wants to see you happy. And he says, if you go down that route, you're only going to be miserable. You think of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they were told not to eat of that fruit. But it was so nice, so pretty, so tasty at first. But afterwards, the consequences, the shame, the pain, the awkwardness. And when God came to visit them in the garden, what did they do, brothers and sisters? They hid, they ran away, they said, "Oh no, here he comes." And God asked him, "Why are you hiding?" Because we were what? Naked. And we were afraid. And Satan wants you and I to believe, brothers and sisters, that we should be afraid of God. Is that true? That's false. Can we approach God? We can approach him. In fact, he is not afraid to approach us. Amen? He went looking for Adam and Eve. He said, "I know you're in trouble. I can tell." But he went out looking for them. Did he leave them like that? In spite of whose mistake, whose problem was it? Was it God's problem or their problem? Their problem. They had caused this. They had disobeyed God. And God says, "I have the solution to your problem." In fact, he has a solution to all of our problems. And he invites us to come. Come. Learn from me that I am humble and meek. I can change you. I can transform you. But you need to come. Don't be afraid. Come. That's the kind of God Jesus is here describing. In fact, when you finish this prayer, it's where it says, verse 13, 14, 15. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory sometimes. Forever? God always has power, always has glory. Always, especially in our moment of need. And he's willing to give it to you and to me. Amen? I'm going to ask for the next slide where we have these characteristics. God is our Father. We can approach him. God is holy and righteous. We can approach him. God is powerful and mighty. We can approach him. God can supply each one of our needs. We can approach him. God is merciful and forgiving. Praise the Lord. We can approach him. God is merciful and loving. He is just, wise, and very transparent. Does that make you feel safe, brothers and sisters? That makes me feel safe. That makes me feel like I can approach God. I can come before his presence. And maybe why the Lord doesn't reveal himself to us so openly is because we would do the same as Adam and Eve. We would hide from his presence. In fact, we have someone in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, a man of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and on. There's a throne scene, and he sees God in all his majesty. He sees God surrounded by seraphims, two wings covering their faces, two wings covering their feet, and two wings being used to fly. And all these angelic beings saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And when Isaiah saw that, he said, "Oh, I am doomed, for I am a sinful man with sinful lips, and I live among a sinful people. Oh, is me, woe is me," he exclaims. But praise the Lord, we can approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen? We can come to God the Father just as we are, brothers and sisters. He does not expect you to change your clothing. In fact, you can't do that. But he can. He can cover our naked bodies. He can transform and change our wretchedness. He can help us see what we can't see today. And I think of the parable that Jesus shared with his disciples, the prodigal son. Amen? Did he know he was in trouble? He knew he was in trouble. He was dirty, smelly, eating things he should not be eating. And he thought to himself, "Wow, in my father's house, the workers, the servants there, they're treated like family. What am I doing here? I should go home." And did he think of maybe changing his clothes a little bit? Because, whoa, my dad, he's known in town. Everybody knows who he is. Or did he think, "Well, you know, maybe I'm going to wash myself up, at least take off some of this dirt, and then I can approach my father"? Or did he just say, I'm going to go and see what happens? He just made a decision. The decision to go and approach his father. And when he did, brothers and sisters, Did his father say, uh-oh, here comes my son. I wonder what he wants now. Is that what he said? Or did he say, uh-oh, there comes my son. Let me go get somebody else to see and attend to him at this moment. I'm too busy. In fact, the story tells us, the parable mentions that when the father saw his son at a distance, he wasn't home yet, the father ran out to see him. And when he saw him, he clothed him and he put his ring upon his finger and said, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home. We're so happy you're here. In fact, we're celebrating today, amen? We're getting everybody together. This is a moment of joy, of happiness." I'm sure the son must have been like, "Wow, on cloud nine. Can't believe this. My father didn't even say, what have you done with your inheritance? He hasn't even asked any questions about, why am I so dirty?" Do you want to go home? I want to go home too. And praise the Lord, our Heavenly Father is approachable. We can come to him just as we are. And he promises to change us, transform us into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a last passage here, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Can we say amen? "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." We can call him Dad or Daddy, Papa. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Is that good news, brothers and sisters? That is great news. And I want to think that our Heavenly Father wants us to approach him not just on Sabbath morning, amen? Not just when we have time here or there. But he wants us all to take time to talk to him. Make time today to talk to God. Share with him your concerns. Share with him what is going on in your life. What is it that worries you or what makes you happy? What is it that you're thankful for? Or what is it that concerns you? Is he wanting to hear that? He's wanting to hear that. Then just talk to him. Share with him. And don't be afraid to ask. God, well, what are your plans? Well, what is it that you want to see in my life? Well, what is it that you want to change in my life? Is God willing to share that with us, brothers and sisters? He is. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with each one of his children. And he can do this. Amazing. But he can do this. Are you willing to spend time with him? Approach him? Share with him? Praise God for our Heavenly Father. Amen? And brothers and sisters, praise God that he's coming again to take us home. Amen? And let's tell our friends. Let's tell our family. Let's let them know that there is a God who's approachable. Satan has said many lies about him, that he's mean, that he's angry, that he's waiting to pound on us. Those are all lies. He's waiting for you and for me and for all those who want to believe in him to come, spend time with him. Tell them the things that concern us. And praise God, he's willing to listen to each one of us. Amen.